Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
I can always guarantee when we're getting ready to talk with our Open House new media and social media guru, Steve Krieger, we'll be both learning stuff and probably having our eyes open much wider. Tonight is no exception. Tonight we're going to take a particular look at privacy and taking greater control of our online world. Steve Krieger, welcome back.
Thanks, Lee.
Always great to talk, Steve. We all know a lot of the trouble lots of young people especially get into posting too much information about themselves. It ultimately comes back to bite them, even years later down the line. Now there's a move to scrub the online indiscretions of young people.
There is. There's this mantra that young people too frequently self-reveal before they self-reflect, that we're too quick to talk before thinking. Actually, I don't think it's really a problem of young people. I think it's probably a problem of older people
yes,
in general.
Very good point.
But there's some changes afoot in California that will make it the responsibility of websites to be forced to delete content that has been created by minors when they decide that they would like to delete that. Those pictures or those tweets or those updates, the websites will have to get rid of it for them if that request is made.
So how is this eraser section, as they're talking about, how's it going to work practically?
There's a few different ways that this legislation has been drafted. Firstly, if a website is aware that a young person is using their website, they're restricted in the types of content advertising that they're able to promote on that website. So nothing to do with alcohol, spray paint, tattoos, cigarettes. None of that kind of content can be knowingly promoted to a minor, and sites like Facebook know to some extent the age of the user because they have to nominate their age when they sign up for the account. But they're also seeking to force websites to delete content on request. Some websites make this very easy at the moment. On Facebook, you can go back and you can look at the post that you've created, and if you said something stupid, you can delete it. But that's not true of all websites, and so they're seeking to make this eraser functionality true for all websites across the state.
There are lots of examples of how this might save teenagers from themselves, few more so than one story you found in Texas. Tell us about that, Steve.
It's a sad story. Yeah. A teenager in Texas put up a message on Facebook in February threatening a school shooting. His family was quick to add that this was a sarcastic message. There was no evil intent that was intended. It was made in the heat of playing a video game. But this Facebook message actually put him in jail on a felony terrorism charge for nearly 6 months. And so this message that was said apparently in the heat of the moment ended up resulting in this young person being put in jail. It's a big question. I'm not sure how much. I mean, certainly young people are susceptible to saying stupid things online, but as I mentioned before, we're all capable of
absolutely
doing
this. Absolutely, yes.
And what's the capacity for us to be able to delete these things? And what accountability do people have for the things that they say in the heat of the moment? These are the kinds of questions that we're still wrestling with.
Especially when it lands a teenager in jail. So this new move in California, probably a good start, but will there ever be safeguards and protections that lock in what this legislation is seeking to achieve?
It's difficult, I think, because free speech is a really, it's a big thing. It's a big thing in America. It's a big thing here as well. So we want to enable people to continue to be able to say what they want to say and to not impose those limitations. There's also the aspect that what is said online is never really deleted. It exists somewhere, and you only have to put something online and for someone to take a screenshot or to copy that image or save that photo, and it's there forever. Yes. So nothing is really posted online and actually finally and permanently deleted. The other question that's raised is that by giving people the opportunity to destroy things that they have said, are you actually and legally destroying evidence?
It's a good point too, yes.
As you try and go backtrack and remove things that shouldn't have been said or shouldn't have been done, are you in doing something that's actually illegal? In this point, again, it's the law struggling to keep up with technology, and this is always the case.
Not for the first time, not for the last time.
That's right.
Now to a really interesting article you've found about privacy, especially again as it applies to young people, and it's from a tech expert who's learnt lots himself from a group of inner-city kids.
This was just a fascinating story. That's right. Yeah. The tech expert and an editor of an online technology magazine who found himself teaching a bunch of inner-city teenagers about technology. All of his assumptions, really, about what they knew about technology and social media and privacy were completely turned on their head. His big assumption was that teenagers are often talking online on social media, they're sharing what they're sharing with the world, and they're doing that because they have no idea about privacy settings and they're completely ignorant about who can see what they're sharing. What he discovered, in fact, was that they are very aware of privacy settings and they have chosen, in many cases, not to put those settings on because they want people to see what they are doing. They want people to see what they're saying. It's not an act of ignorance, but a very intentional act to share with the world.
Which is revealing in itself, which I'll come back to in just a tick. Mm. He learnt what I imagine would be one particularly revealing thing that many of us might not know about Facebook.
Well, that's right. So he found the way that young people are using Facebook more and more is instead of logging out of your Facebook account, young people are actually deleting their accounts. And the reason they're deleting their accounts is because none of that information can be found online by parents or other people who might want to find that out about them. But deleting a Facebook account, it can never really fully delete it. If you want to go back and start your account back up again, Facebook has kept all of that information on its servers. So it's very easy to delete and then reinstate. And young people are finding this to be preferable to just logging out, trying to then hide information that you don't want people to see.
Something I learnt. Yeah. This whole arena of, say, teachers following or some would say stalking students online is a very tricky one. And there's no simple answer to it, is there? Because there are, of course, bad things about that, potentially bad things, but there are also potential benefits.
Yeah, as you say, it's a minefield to know how teachers are meant to relate to this. Teachers, I think, from the conversations that I've had, are often either restricted from using social media or strongly discouraged from having personal accounts. They're definitely discouraged from befriending or following their students. And knowing anything about them or revealing anything about themselves. And there's good reasons for this. I mean, yes. It's good to kind of separate those relationships out. But, you know, one of the other risks is teachers being accused of having favourites. You know, why do you follow that student on Twitter and not on me? Why did you like their photo and not my photo? Those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But there are some benefits to this as well. The more that teachers can know their students, a lot of that can be known simply by following them and seeing what they're saying, what they're doing. The better they are able to care for them and to teach and to mentor them. That's the flip side of the argument. Now, teachers might say, I simply don't have the time or the interest in kind of digging down to that level of detail in my students' lives. But what this particular story revealed was that by knowing what was going on in students' lives, they were really able to have a greater insight into why they might have been upset or quiet or not engaged, and then able to help them to move forward.
Yeah, it's a good point. So if this teacher's right that young people are knowing much more about the security and privacy settings than we'd imagine, he poses the question, what are they trying to tell the world when they post? If they know all about that, what do you reckon?
I mean, I think there's a few things that are revealed from this story that are really true of all of humanity, and that's we really do want to be known, want to be known for who we are. We want people to know our situation, our struggles. This is something that the students seem to reflect on a little bit in this story, is that we want people to talk to and people who understand us. That's how God made us, for these relationships of understanding and support and unconditional love. And it seems, perhaps it was just true of this particular school in inner city Chicago, that there was a lot of disadvantage, but that more and more students are seeking these kinds of relationships that they're not getting through their parents or through other family or mentoring relationships. It seems that the messages that are being communicated are a bit of a cry for communication, a cry for relationship, and a cry for understanding. And where that is reciprocated, the students seem to really flourish.
Yeah. Finally, Steve, there's one way of regaining some control over the online world that you found, the Circle. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the Circle is a piece of technology that some entrepreneurs are trying to get up and running, which basically is a device that you put on your home and you control it through your phone or your tablet. And it sets to, I guess, provides a bit more control for parents in how their families are using their internet. So they found that more and more parents were switching off the internet, turning it back on again at different times of the day as they wanted their kids to be using or not using the internet. And this is a device that enables you to set time restrictions on when the internet is on and when it's off. So if you want the internet off every day at 6 o'clock for dinner, so you're actually spending time together as a family,
yes,
this will control that for you. It enables you to see how different members of your family are using the internet, how much time they're on each of their different devices and what websites they're browsing, filtering websites, so restricting the types of websites that the family members are able to use, enabling a whole lot of detail. So as your children grow up, you're able to give them more responsibility and access to different types of content. I think it's a great initiative to enable parents to have a little bit more control in an area where they often feel that they are less knowledgeable than their children.
I'm sure it interests lots of people. Steve Krieger, as always, learned so much. Thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.